Where do I start? How do I train recall? How long should we work on healing before moving on? Is crate training really that important? We hear these questions all the time, and there's one answer that will help with all of them. The complete step-by-step dog training course found at Standing Stone Supply. They break down the what, when, where, and how to train your own dog from 8 weeks to 1 year old. They've got it all laid out for you, down to even the daily activity checklist to keep you and your puppy on track. Check out standingstonesupply.com and remember to use code GDIY to save 10%.
GDIY profiles are bonus episodes that tell the stories of how your everyday handler got into the gun dog world. You will hear plenty of examples of what to do as well as what not to do and how they learn from those experiences. These episodes are being put out to tell the honest stories that we, as do-it-yourself dog handlers, can all relate to. If you think you would be a good fit for a profile episode, please go to gundogityourself.com and complete the form, and we may get back to you so that you can share your story. All right, everybody, we are sitting up here at the Minnesota Grouse Camp. Kent Crowett is a glutton for punishment, decided to join us on a few hunts today. He came up, and Kent, what made you want to come not shoot grouse with us today?
I don't know, just excited to come up, meet you guys, and see your dogs, and check them out, and watch a few other breeds I haven't seen before, and see what it was about.
Yeah, well, Nick always makes it sound bad, like, not shoot grouse with us. We have seen a few birds, you know, and we've had a good time. We've ate good food, and it's always fun to meet someone that listens to the podcast and just get to know them and all that stuff. So thanks for coming up and hanging out with us, man.
Yeah, no problem.
How'd you get started out with bird dogs and everything? So you hunted with Nick today. You and I are going to hunt tomorrow, but I haven't even really, you know, heard your story. So how'd you get started in all this?
Well, I grew up hunting, mainly with my dad. We were more focused on deer hunting. We'd occasionally go walk for grouse, but never with a dog or anything. My dad was big into coon dogs and trapping and stuff, and I always thought the whole idea of having a dog just sounded awesome. And then growing up watching, like, Where the Red Fern Grows and all those classic movies, and having that best buddy hunt with you, it's just, I don't know, just something about it always appealed to me. Never experienced it. When I got a little bit older where I could get a dog of my own,
decided this made
now,
sense.
Now's the time. Bought a house. Within a few months, bought a dog. So.
In that order, gotcha. So you have a German wire hair pointer, which I had the privilege of hunting behind today. What made you go with the wire hair?
I don't know. I just always thought a pointing breed was the way to go. I don't know. I think they're cool just to see a dog lock up on point. And I've seen a few, but never really hunted behind one. And why I chose a wire hair, I guess, my buddy had a draught, probably a couple years
which is
prior,
a wire hair.
Which is a wire hair with a tattoo.
I just made a bunch of people mad, but that's all right.
And I just thought the dog was pretty cool looking. I liked its beard and started doing. When I got to that time, I was doing research on breeds, and I always was kind of set on a setter just because I thought they're very nice looking dog. And when I kind of found the wire hair, I was just like, oh, they can kind of do everything well if I want to go duck hunting. You know, or this or that, that can supposed to be able to do everything. So that what's what appealed to me.
Yeah. Well, how's it turned out for you? How old's your dog now?
Zoe turned 5 here.
Nice. She's a nice sized dog, man. I really like a dog that's a little bit smaller. I mean, wire hairs and short hairs, you see some that are 90 pounds and some that are 45. So I really like her size. And then you got a puppy too, right?
Yep, I just picked up Tess, and she's, well, not just, she's about 10 months old at this point.
Yeah, now you didn't bring her today. What was your thought there?
Well, she's still hasn't pointed a bird yet. Still young, just trying to get her on some birds. She just went into heat and has been acting funny in the woods and just
I know
didn't
how that
want
goes.
To deal with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, What's your plans with the young one? Are you just kind of bringing her up the same way you did the other one to grouse hunt mainly locally here in Minnesota? Or you have any plans other than just hunting grouse and woodcock? You know, what are your grand dreams for these dogs?
Well, it's changed over the years, I guess. Originally with Zoe, I just wanted to pheasant hunt. That was just seemed like the cool thing to do. And here it's 5-7 hour drive to find good pheasant hunting from where I'm at. And why aren't I chasing grouse or in my backyard? And
that's what I was going to say, man. You got grouse, right? Like we drove 16 and a half hours to hunt these grouse or partridge, as you call them up here. Yeah, Pat's partridge. But why on earth would you leave this place to go hunt pheasants?
Well, it's, I guess around the area, I just didn't grow up knowing anybody with an actual grouse dog that would point a grouse. I mean, people have, we're kind of in lab country, and everybody has a lab that's a house dog. And
how has the pheasant hunting worked out with you? Have you stayed in the state, traveled out of the state? Well, how's it all worked out for you?
I mean, I guess in the state, my father-in-law lives down in Hutchinson, so I go down there and chase roosters when I'm around, you know, around Christmas time or so. But usually I try and make a trip or two out to either South Dakota or North Dakota and go chase birds. And then in between those trips, I try to get out during the week by home. If it's a Saturday, I try to plan it. Yeah, I'm going to go out here, there, and just go explore and walk around with my dog and hopefully find some birds, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you got your wire hair and you said that you're just brand new to it, how did you go about kind of figuring out how to train the dog? And if you didn't hunt with anybody that hunted with dogs, how did you go about learning all that?
Well, I mean, I went into it completely blind. Just got the dog.
Like a lot of us.
Oh shit, I need to do something. I pay a lot of money for this dog. I want it to be, you know, you buy a dog, you're invested years, and you don't want a dog that's a pain in the ass for 12 years that doesn't listen. So it's, you know, I did a lot of reading, tried to look on the internet like everybody else.
Yep.
Went to one local trainer, but he was more, I picked him because it was close. The price was right, but he was more of a field trial, you know, flushing dog trainer. But it got my dog on birds, you know, helped with the obedience, intro to birds, intro to guns, and stuff like that. And then after a month, I just took it on my own, just decided I need to get her on birds. She'll just figure it out. She has it or doesn't, you know.
So that was with your first one where you went to a trainer, all that stuff. What about with your second pup now? Are you Tess, right?
Tess, yep.
Are you kind of doing all of it yourself, or are you thinking about going to a trainer again?
Well, I was going to go right away to the trainer in the spring. All this COVID stuff happened. It threw it for a loop. We weren't supposed to be meeting up or whatever. So I just put it on hold, you know, and did some stuff in the yard, just, you know, stuff with bumpers and just some healing and whatever drills. And once it finally, I was like, oh, shit, she's 6 months old and I've done some minor stuff. I need to actually start working on some stuff. So end up calling the trainer and went over there and got her on some pigeons and started to do some bird work. Got the gun, you know, intro done. She's seen some birds.
Yeah.
Didn't reach the level I wanted by hunting season, but.
Well, how is Minnesota? I know a lot of states offer like spring training with birds or at least not spring, but early season training on birds where you can't shoot them, but you can train them. How's that work in Minnesota? Do you try and do that or do they even allow that in this state?
There's a date. I can't remember off the top of my head when it is that you can start running. And I watch that page with the woodcock online when they're going to be flying through and try and get out. And, you know, prior to that, I'm just doing puppy walks in my backyard. I got 6 acres. My neighbor has 80 surrounding me. So I just go walk, work on range, try and find some birds.
Yeah.
You know?
Perfect. So you have some backyard birds out there? Like, it may not be a lot, but do you have some out there, especially when the woodcock flight comes through?
I didn't really find any woodcock this spring, but it was hot, mosquitoes. It doesn't take long. You just had enough. But I did get her on a few birds here and there. They're usually just short, really quick walks, quick runs, you know. Yeah. Usually I was just more working on range and making sure she stays with me. And
yeah.
Just get her used to the woods.
For sure. And getting her used to a lot of stuff because, we talked about a lot today. We hunted all day, and so we can't cover everything we talked about. But you said one thing that stood out to me earlier is you expose the dog to different situations knowing that it's going to make your life easier later on. And so you're kind of a typical Minnesota outdoorsman. You chase partridge, grouse, we're in the region, so let's call them partridge pets.
Yeah.
And, but you also do a lot of ice fishing and stuff like that. And you're saying that, it's coming up. And so with a young pup, it's important to just put them in that environment before you go in that environment so that, it doesn't ruin your trip. And so coming from another dog guy, I really appreciate that because it's so many, you get guys that the dog is acting a fool in the kennel or acting a fool in the duck blind for the first time. And they're like, well, I just can't bring them out. And I'm like, they've never been exposed to that, but you're using your wire hairs as a family member as well. And you're taking them out on the ice shack and you're just like, yeah, I go out there before we go out in the ice shack and let them spend a night in the ice shack at the house. And then we go out there and they're familiar with it. And so you're understanding kind of how the dogs learn before they're in that situation that you expect them to act a certain way.
Yep. And I don't know. It's totally different dog number two than one. Number one, I was a lot more like, oh, I got to do this right. And you're all nervous that, am I doing this right? Am I doing it wrong?
Yep.
Who knows what's going on? You read 10 different stories for the same exact thing you're looking at. You don't know what to do, where to turn.
You see a bunch of do this, and absolutely.
I'm a lot more and relaxed.
Don't do this, yeah.
Slow pace with Tess. I mean, the way I'm looking at it this first year, it's just take it slow, expose her. It's going to happen. If you want your dog to be able to ride in the truck, ever in the kennel, ever sleep in the kennel in the truck, in the camper,
get her used to everything.
When she's a puppy and we'll stay close, take her on a walk. And then when she starts getting to that teenage, whatever, she wants to just go do her own thing. I'm starting to change directions, make her, it's not really training in the first year. I feel like it's just trying to create good habits, and you're exposing them to different situations.
That's
not
exactly
really
training.
Right. Because I feel like if you try to bring the hammer down, so to speak, in the first year, you get a lot of negative results from too much pressure. And I experienced that with Zoe where, you can see some stuff later on. Where it's like, she'll hang her head low and you're like, no, you're fine. But it's just from too much pressure when I was thinking this was the way to do it,
Right. And then you end up going, man, if I had this to do over, and you look at your puppy and you go, well, I guess I do have this to do over.
And I guess watching videos and everything online, you're like, oh my God, someone's got a 6-month dog. It's got this prize on it. Look at that video. That thing's a rock star. It's like my dog's likes to go chase frogs
Yeah.
It's kind of intimidating.
Well, that's reality, though. That's reality, though, is no one shows you all the bad stuff, It's all, I don't know. And I get on these social media rants sometimes, but all you see is, here's how many birds we killed. Well, it's not, how did you harvest those birds? Here's all the good things about my dog. Well, what are all the bad things about your dog? You've got this great dog in the field, but the thing won't eat dinner when you put food out for it, and it won't even sit in the kennel quietly. You don't see the bad.
And some of that stuff, I feel like you can't learn it by reading. You have to experience it,
yes.
Go through it, and then eventually you get a little bit of an aha moment, and it starts to click.
And if everybody was just more honest about it, kind of to Adam's point and caveat off yours, it's like you won't have a new person with their first dog feel the pressure of like, oh man, I have to live up to that 6-month utility dog or whatever. It's like, just take your time. You and your dog will be better off for it. And don't feel pressure because, somebody on Facebook, it's, really pushed for something. And no matter what, like there's something at the end of that, the dog might have a shortcoming of, who knows what that might be. But yeah, I mean, so I'm curious, on the way back, we were talking about, obviously there's kind of a geographical difference to where we live and where you live. And so we're kind of comparing Minnesota and Tennessee and just the seasons and everything. And it's like a completely different world. You're walking me through the lakes freezing over and ice fishing and all that. And it just got me thinking, I'm like, you know, we hunt all the way through winter. Right. And we can train all the way through summer, as miserable, as hot as it gets. You know, there's water work and stuff. I want to know, like, what's having a dog like up this far north when it snows and ice is over like that? Do you get to train? Do you get to work on late winter birds or anything like that? Like, it's in a different world. So I'm just picturing being a dog owner up in this region compared to us.
Well, I don't know, as far as hunting, I mean, you can go until about the first of the year, roughly, chasing birds. And I hunt from day one all the way to the end. You know, it's all birds, it's all good experience, it's all learning for me and for the dog. And once it gets past that point in winter, I mean, they're just hanging out, they're your buddy. It's not that I completely just throw them to the side. It's always my house dog and a pet. You know, she's in the house with me, but you're still working on little things. Like it's dinner time. We sit at the table. I'll tell her to go lay on the mat. Otherwise she's got her nose up in my daughter's lap waiting for scraps. So it's those things you work on, or I'm cooking dinner, tell her to lay on her mat. She'll lay down, you know, and it's those little things that add up where you get a more cooperative dog.
For sure.
From just that constant little bit, you know.
It translates right to the field, man. Those little things, you can tell. When you hunt with a dog, I can almost be like, oh, this dog's got no rules in the house. It does whatever it wants. It gets table scraps, whatever. I'm like, yep, I can tell right now in the field by the way it's acting, you know. So that's good. What other kind of stuff do you do in the off season, when there's 3 feet of snow and everything's frozen over up here, what do you do?
I don't know. It's not like I do any formal training or anything. I mean, just take the dog out, let her run around, take her on the lake, go fishing. She stays in the shack with me, whatever.
So have you had the privilege? So I've always wanted to like have this big snow roosted grouse get up in front of me, just busting snow and come up out and scare the crap out of me and my dog. And have you had that experience up here when you have like a real deep snow? Have you been able to go out, your dog find a bird and you're looking around, you're like, where is it? And then it just comes up out of the snow like that.
Not with grouse, I guess. I mean, I've hunted them in knee deep snow. I haven't had one burrowed in that I kick up, but I have had that with pheasants quite a bit because we go out in December chasing roosters. Mm-hmm. And like last year I was out watching Zoe and she's working the fence line, and she goes on, gets birdie and starts to go on point. I'm like, I think she has a bird over there. And all of a sudden out of nowhere, she just, like a fox, jumps straight up, nose straight into the snowbank, dives in, disappears, pops up with a rooster flying out.
Nice. Yes.
And she crippled it because she got a hold of it, and luckily it was a rooster. And apparently she wanted to take out her own bird. And it was kind of fun to watch, but
awesome.
Now that's perfect bird dog work, but she pointed it for probably about 10 seconds as I'm trying to make my way through the snow up there, and then she just decided to dive in and get it herself, I guess. Yeah,
no, that's awesome. One of these days I'm going to have to experience that, but... Yeah, Ken, I appreciate you making the trip up here. You know, it wasn't that far of a drive for you, but it was a drive, a couple hours, and, you know, I enjoyed hunting with you and meeting you in person. It's always fun meeting some listeners and just kind of getting to know some semi-local people, and you got to teach us a little bit of what you know about, you know, the cover and habitat, what some of the plants that you know and stuff like that. So I appreciate you kind of taking us under your wing and making the trip up, even though the weather wasn't exactly ideal today. You know, you saw that and knew that you're coming up to mid-70s degree weather and probably wasn't going to be that great of hunting, but I enjoyed it, so I hope you did too.
Yeah, it was good time. It's fun either way, just to watch dogs run, whether it's birds or not. Just to watch, that was cool to watch the setter and your small Muncie run around. And just two dogs I haven't watched work on the ground before, so it's fun to see that and see the different styles and how they, you know, look at the woods different than my wire hair, so to speak.
Just getting together with someone else that shares the same passion that we do, the dogs, and watching the dog work. And it's like, we're all, you know, we're all on the same page. I mean, I met you this morning and I'm like, yeah, man, he's just another dude in the group hanging out. So I've enjoyed hanging out with you. I look forward to hunting with you in the morning, and thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate the invite and getting to hang out.
Yep. Let's get some birds in the morning.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to GDIY. If you enjoy this podcast, please remember to take a moment to rate, review, and share with a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Gundog It Yourself. If you really enjoy this podcast and would like to contribute even more to future content, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/gundogityourself. Thanks again, and happy hunting.
Everyone seems to have the same questions or concerns when they start trying to decide which kennel to purchase for their vehicle. Perhaps it's time to stop asking all the questions and just design the perfect setup that meets your exact needs. B-Pro Kennel specializes in designing and fabricating custom premier dog boxes handcrafted right here in the USA from high-grade, lightweight aluminum. They'll get you set up with the size dimensions, lighting, storage, battery boxes with solar charging, and anything else you can dream of. Stop stressing over buying the wrong setup just to have to replace it again in a year. Go ahead and check out bprokennels.com and get exactly what you want. If you're considering changing your dog's food soon, then be sure to check out Eukanuba Pro Performance. Their science-backed formulas are designed to take your dog to the next level of performance. They also now have the new puppy formula to help your pup start strong and live active. When looking at all the different food options, remember Eukanuba to help power their ultimate performance.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Bob from Lone Duck's Gun Dog Chronicles podcast. I hope you just enjoyed the episode you just listened to. And if you did, I think you'll enjoy hopping on ours. We've got professional retriever trainers and upland bird dog trainers from across the country and world sharing their tips and tricks and great stories to help you and your dog get ready for the season. We'll see you there.